Well, good morning, folks. Glad that you were able to make it here safely through the weather. And good morning to all of you who decided, we're not going to chance it today. We're glad that you're joining us, too. We'd like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for as long as there have been Christians, I think. The Lord be with you. Thank you. We believe that's true, that the Lord does meet us here, that he is with us as we gather together to worship him. So I would love it if we could bow our heads and pray to him as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for keeping us safe. And thank you for helping us to make smart choices about travel in the midst of winter weather. God, we thank you that you meet us right where we live, right in the middle of everything that we've got going on. And so, God, today we are trusting that as we reach out to you, you've already been reaching out to us. I mean, you're the one who's drawn us into this time of worship. It's your Holy Spirit reaching out to us. That draws us to sing to you and to cry out to you in prayer, to listen for you speaking through the scriptures and to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. So God, as we do all these things, it's our hope, it's our faith. We trust that we will connect with you, the God who made us and loves us. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can sit, you can stand, whatever you'd like, but let's sing as we begin.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. the beginning of that song, is your burden weighing heavy? That's snow today. That is a heavy burden sometimes. Oh, your mercy never fails me in all my days. Oh, I'm playing it wrong. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I was like, that's really low. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me in all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will say of the goodness of God. And all my
bow your heads with me. Let's continue the prayers that we've started with these songs. God, your goodness is running after me. Your goodness continues to follow me. Your goodness pursues me through this life. It's so good to know, God, that you have your eye on us, that you are with us, that we can entrust ourselves to you because you are the God who not only did you make us way back when, not only did you get this whole thing started, but you continue to walk with us through all the things that life throws our way. You guide our steps. You strengthen us. You give us wisdom, courage, direction, so much, God. And when we mess this thing up, when we fail, you are right there ready to forgive and to help us to experience the change that we need in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, so that we can live a new way. So that we can live in this world as your kids, as people loved by their Heavenly Father. So that we can live in this world as your disciples, as people following Jesus, following in the way of Jesus, continuing the work that Jesus, you began, that you continue to do today by your Holy Spirit. we live in this world with confidence in you, God, and trusting ourselves to you. God, you know all the different things that have gone on in the lives of those joining me in prayer right now. You know the good things that we are so grateful to you for. You know the challenges that we have been coming to you for help with. You know the griefs. You know the sorrows. You know the confusion. You know the frustration. God, sometimes it seems like this world is just spinning out of control. And wow, it is so good to know in those moments that you are faithful. That just like the Psalms talk about, you are our refuge, our strength, always present to help in times of trouble. That we can count on you even when we can count on nothing else. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love, your faithful love that strengthens us and sustains us and changes us. Help us, God, to live in this world as people who have confidence in you. Because we're surrounded by folks who need some hope, who need to be able to look at some of the people in this room, God, need to be able to look at us and see, okay, they aren't afraid. They aren't jumping into the craziness that's all around us. That person has some peace, so maybe I can have some peace. That person has some faith, so maybe I can have faith. That person has hope, so maybe I can have hope. Thank you, God, for the ways you're at work in the world through your people. Help us to be those people. And help us today to have hearts and minds open to you and all that you want to say, all that you want to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Oh, now that was pretty unenthusiastic, I must say. Can we try that again? The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Give somebody a handshake, a hug, a happy Sunday. We truly do have such a variety of circumstances represented just here in this room with the few of us that were able to make it through the snow and the cold today. To those of you watching this morning online, well, for those of you who texted me saying you're sick, I'm sorry. I'm praying for your healing. For those of you who are staying home to stay safe, we're glad that you're safe and glad that you're joining us. And for all of you here in the room, man, I don't know. I was going to say you must be crazy, but maybe not. Maybe you've just got good traction on your new tires and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we're glad to be together this morning. On the screen are some links if you want to let us know how we can be praying for you or you have a comment, especially those of you who are watching online, since you weren't able to just shake some hands just now. You can go to livinghope.info/connect and let us know. Or you can, those of us in the room can grab one of the little cards back there and jot it on there and drop it in the offering box. If you're giving, you can drop that in the box. You can use the link. All that stuff works. And and if you didn't already pick them up, there's a box out in the lobby with like your giving records from this last year if you need them for taxes and that kind of thing. If not, then Deb's going to mail them this week to you so that you'll have them. And there's a little note in there for me thanking you and letting you know some of the exciting things coming up this year that are just a couple of them that are made possible by your gifts. So thank you again to all of you who give. Whether you give a little or a lot, trust that all of us give what God enables us to give and as he leads us to give. It's a good thing. I would like to mention just real quick that last week I asked you to be praying for Art Krueger. Krueger? Art and Linda, as Art had begun hospice care, and last Sunday night, he did pass away. And so if you could continue your prayers for Linda and for their whole family. There'll be a service like later in the spring. Linda said she's just going to wait until roads are good and people can travel and you know the winter's behind us. But it's not all sad news. Do you guys want to, can I say something about the new little grandbaby? Yeah? Actually, I won't get the details wrong. Can you just share with folks? Or is that something you'd rather not do? Online for the world to see. You got a new grandbaby. New grandbabies are a good thing. Yeah, come on over. That's exciting.
John loves to talk in
front. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love this. Yeah, our daughter.
My dad doesn't watch this, so we're good.
Our daughter and son-in-law had a baby, Mia, and she was a couple weeks early, but they're all doing well. And, yeah, we're just really blessed and excited about that. She was born Sunday during the, fourth quarter of the Bears game. So.
Oh, that's funny. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I just knew I was going to get some details wrong, and I knew you knew the details, so. Yeah. So there are good things, there are tough things, and God is with us through all of them. And you know what, before we dive into this morning's message, can we just bow our heads again for a brief moment? God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for being with us through the griefs and the joys. And thank you that today we have an opportunity to hear your Spirit speaking to us through the Scriptures. We do pray, just like every Sunday, that we would hear your voice. Not just what I or whoever has the privilege of preaching what have to say or think or whatever, but God, my prayer every Sunday is that we would each hear what you want to say to us. Help us to have hearts open to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to talk about something that sometimes we Christians get a little twisted, a little sideways, and it kind of messes us up a bit. We're continuing this series about who we are now. I originally was kind of thinking about we're moving into a new year, and as we're kind of imagining who God wants us to be in this new year, I thought, well, let's look at the Bible. And so we looked a couple weeks ago at us being children of God and being loved by God and remembering that God is our Heavenly Father. Last week we talked about being Jesus' disciples, these people who follow him around and try to learn from him, just like the disciples in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We read about Jesus calling disciples to follow him and to learn from him. And hopefully we're all doing that, with the idea being that we will learn and be able then to continue his work. So we keep our eyes on Jesus even now and become the people Jesus is helping us to be. Today we're looking at another word that pops up. We've been kind of in John's Gospel for all of these. And there's a word that comes up a lot in John's Gospel, this idea of believing. It's in one of the most famous verses that we'll get to in just a second from chapter 3. But first, chapter 1, it starts like this. I felt like I was going to quote a little bit from chapter 1. I thought, I got to at least give the lead into this. He starts it all off saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that's been made. In him," and if it's not clear, he's talking about Jesus, "in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. There's the first time that word pops up. Didn't take long. It took about seven verses before that word believe pops up in John's Gospel. And he's saying that's why John the Baptist showed up, was to point people toward Jesus so that people would believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. That last bit was the passage we looked at a couple weeks ago. That we become children of God by receiving and believing in Jesus, allowing him to be who he says he is, and recognizing that and believing in him. Or it says here, believing in his name. So what does that mean to believe in Jesus? That's kind of important to get at, right? I mean, if that's how we become children of God, what's it mean to believe in him? What's it mean to receive him, to accept him, to trust him? But by the time you get to chapter 3, and Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus, we mentioned last week with the disciples that there was this Joseph of Arimathea who was a secret disciple. He was afraid of the religious leaders. And Nicodemus, along with him, who took Jesus' body down off the cross after he died and laid him in a tomb. Nicodemus is the one Jesus is talking to in John chapter 3 when this most famous verse gets said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So John tends to work in contrasts in the way he writes his Gospels. You know, there's light coming into the darkness, and you either believe or you don't believe. You either have life or you don't have life. And so while John uses this word believe frequently, this idea of describing us as believers doesn't come up a whole lot in John's Gospel or at all in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They talk about people being disciples or the crowd or people who followed Jesus. But then you get to the book of Acts that describes the church after Jesus has conquered sin and death by dying and rising again. And then after he ascends into heaven and the Holy Spirit is poured out, then believers is the common way that the book of Acts describes the early Christians. Before they were called Christians, apparently they were called believers. So what does it mean for us to be believers? I got multiple songs floating through my head as soon as I even say that phrase. Whether it's the old, I'm old enough to remember the Monkees, and you know, some people, then they saw the movie Shrek, you know, that the end of that one was the whole, you know, saw her face, now I'm a believer song. Or my kids, there was some game they were playing on their tablet once. It was like a music game, and, you know, you had to, like, tap the buttons in time with the music. And for some reason, Imagine Dragons' Believer song was one of the songs that was used. And so from that moment on, for, like, the last 2 years, that song frequently, like, loops around in our playlist. It's not worth listening to this morning, but I can't say the word believers or think of us as being believers without these couple of songs floating through my head. What does it mean for us to be believers? Now, there's several words that overlap, and I just put them there in your notes, that when the Bible talks about us believing, there's four English words that kind of overlap that get translated, show up different times for like one Greek word. Sometimes it's belief, sometimes faith, sometimes trust, and sometimes allegiance. These are like four English words that all kind of, if we want a full idea of what the Bible means by believing in Jesus, it kind of includes all of these aspects to it. I think a lot of times when we say, like, do you believe, or are you a believer, or something like that, we think, oh, like, we're talking about believing a fact or something, right? It's all about, like, mental assent. Just kind of like, yep, I agree with this, you know, historical fact. There was a man named Jesus. He lived, he taught, he did these things. Maybe we believe that the gospel accounts of his life are trustworthy, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that what they wrote and what the Apostle Paul wrote and all the others in the New Testament. Maybe we're saying, yep, I believe that these things happened. Sometimes there's that creed, right, that says we believe in God, the Father Almighty, and later on says we in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. It's like a list of things that happened. And sometimes when we say we believe, we think, oh, I'm just kind of agreeing that these things happened. Jesus lived, he died, rose again, and it's just kind of like agreeing with that. But the Bible's real clear that faith or belief, that what the Bible means by that is more than that. It's not less than that, but it's definitely more than that. There has to be that idea of like, okay, I believe that this is true, that this happened, or that this, you know, kind of this idea is true. But just believing that's not enough. It's not all that the Bible means by that. James, in his letter in the New Testament, makes that real clear. In James chapter 2, he says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" He gives an example. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." In other words, it's not a living faith. It's not real faith if it isn't reflected in the way that we act. It's just something we claim to believe, or maybe even do believe, like in our heads, but apparently the reality of it hasn't sunk into our hearts to impact our lives. He says, someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Like, some people have faith, other people have actions. You know, it's just as long as it all gets done. He says, well, show me your faith without deeds. Like, show it to me. He says, I'll show you my faith by my deeds, by what I do. It gets lived out. And this is a line that, in some ways it cracks me up, in some ways it terrifies me. It says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. It's like, so if you believe, like, just the facts, like, okay, there's one God. Okay, great. Demons believe that too. You know, that doesn't help them believing it. They shudder just knowing it. Which I can't hear that without imagining the Lion King and the all the, what were the animals? Hyenas? That whenever they mention Mufasa, the lion's, the king's name, Mufasa, ooh, you know, they would all shudder, you know. Do it again, Mufasa, ooh, you know, like they liked it. They liked that feeling. That he says, yeah, demons believe. They believe in the sense of like knowing the truth, but they're not following God. They're doing their best to pull people away from God. So just knowing it, like kind of in your head, is a good start. But James is real clear, that's not real faith. Like, that's not a faith you can see or do anything with. In fact, he says, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. So he kind of describes it as like an incomplete faith. It's like, if all we mean by belief, if we read what John 3:16 says and think, oh, believing in Jesus just means, okay, I believe that there was a Jesus, or that there is a Jesus even. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's there. It's like, okay, great, you're on equal footing with the demons. It's a good starting spot, but you don't want to stay there. Right? You don't want to stay with this kind of incomplete faith that isn't lived out in action. So this belief has to get reflected in our lives. Now, the word I usually use to kind of help distinguish this is that word trust. It says, okay, but are you, so it's good, you believe in Jesus, like you believe that he's there, do you trust him? Or like last week when we were talking about being his disciple, are you following him? Do you trust him when he says, you know, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and if you want to get to your father, to our Heavenly Father, you go through him, with him. Do you trust him to lead you through this life, to lead you through the difficulties, to lead you through the grief and out the other side, to lead you through whatever challenges might come your way? Do you trust Jesus? Now that I've got kids, for years, you know, we didn't have any children, and I knew this kind of as a, you know, I mean, I interacted with kids, so I'd see kids do this, but now that we have kids, and they're 10, and they have these loft beds now, we just got them loft beds, they were complaining they didn't have enough room in their rooms for their stuff and all this, and they used to have bunk beds, and they kind of liked that, and we said, well, what about a loft bed, you know, it's up high, and then you got room underneath, and they both loved that idea, so they both have these loft beds now, and one of them, Jonathan at least, from time to time, will get halfway out of the loft bed on the ladder and then say, catch me, and, you know, come at me. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm ready. He waits till I'm ready, thankfully. But, you know, kids who, like, launch themselves at their parents, you know, catch me, Dad. That's an expression of trust. Now, they have to believe that I'm a decent person. You know, they have to believe that I'm strong enough to catch them and not just, you know, we both just collapse to the ground. There are things like that they have to believe in their heads, but then that belief is displayed in their actions, right? And their willingness to throw themselves into the arms of their dad. These aren't separate concepts in the Bible. This is all just kind of what is meant by this same word. The Greek word is pistis for faith or belief, or pistuo is the verb form to believe, or to faith, to have faith, or to have confidence in someone. I guess confidence is another word I could have put there instead of faith. These are all just aspects of what the Bible means when it says to believe in Jesus, or to believe in his name, or on his name. That's just a weird little idiom, a little saying, a way of saying that you believe in someone is to say you believe in their name. I don't think we really say that, do we? Or a version of that, to believe in the name of someone? I don't think we don't have that one. But that was a way that they would, a way of them expressing that you have your confidence in someone, that you're trusting in someone, that you're giving someone your trust and your allegiance, is to believe in their name, to believe in them. I had other examples of like trust versus just mental understanding, but I don't think I need to. I think the little kid jumping into his dad's arms is enough. I used to tell all kinds of stories about, you know, tightrope walkers or roller coasters or even just sitting on a chair, or going across a bridge, all these, you know, like you're expressing your trust that like, yep, that thing's going to hold me up. Yep, that thing's trustworthy. I can entrust my life to this, whatever it is. But you get the idea. Believing in Jesus means you're trusting him and entrusting yourself to him. Which that definitely has implications, right, for the way we live. You know, that means that when he calls us to follow, we're going to say, okay. Even if, like last week, sometimes that means following him into tricky situations, like when he was wanting to go back to Judea, to the area to see Lazarus and his family, and the disciples were like, they're trying to kill you in Judea last time we were there, but finally Thomas says, well, let's follow him anyway. Let's go ahead and die with him. It's trusting that Jesus is going to lead us well, even if it looks frightening, even if it's scary, even if it's dangerous, trusting that he will lead us well. Romans 10 gets at some of this idea. This is the Apostle Paul trying to help people understand like what it means to believe in Jesus. He says, look, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So he kind of does two little bits there, right? It's like you're making this public declaration, Jesus is Lord. That's an expression of allegiance, right? It's like you're pledging allegiance to Jesus as your Lord, as the one who's leading you, as the one who's in charge, as the king. And it's an expression of what you believe in your heart. Like you know that God raised him from the dead. It's like, okay, I really do believe. All right. And for people, especially he's writing to people in Rome, right? He's writing to people in the capital where the empire was established and where the emperor demanded worship and where if they were to stand up and say publicly with their mouths, Jesus is Lord, they knew their life might be forfeited. So it's pretty important then to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and that you're like, you'll be raised with him, because then that gives you the confidence, the ability to say Jesus is Lord, to put your life on the line because you believe, nope, God raised Jesus from the dead. If I belong to Jesus, he's going to raise me from the dead as well. And so if I have to give my life out of allegiance to him, that's what I have to do. I will trust in him. This comes up, I just mentioned Jesus going to back to Judea to visit Lazarus and his family after they had heard Lazarus was sick. And if you know the story, it's John chapter 11. By the time they get there, Lazarus has died. And it's been a few days that he's died. And he's in the tomb and the funeral is underway. And Jesus shows up and weeps with them and says to his sister, look, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He says, do you believe this? And then he goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead. One of the, short of his own resurrection, raising Lazarus from the dead was like the sign that Jesus did that kind of convinced people that, wow, maybe he really is the Messiah. Maybe he really is the Christ, the anointed king that we've been waiting for. Maybe he really is the Son of God, who he says he is. And that is the moment where Jesus and the other powers that be, the religious powers and the earthly powers, began to butt heads. Because if he can raise people from the dead, wow, really God truly is present with him in a way that is unlike anyone else. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. That's trust. That's entrusting yourself to Jesus. There's another pastor. I listened to his podcast. Right, you used to. He's in Kansas City area. We'd visited his church a couple times when we were, or a handful of times when I was in seminary way back when. And he's still pastoring, and every now and then I catch one of his messages. And whenever he talks about the resurrection, He says, I not only believe this, I'm counting on it. Like, I'm staking my life on it. You know, I've given my life. I'm counting on the fact that Jesus not only rose from the dead, but that my life then has meaning and that ultimately I will live as well because I put my faith in Jesus. And he asked, do you believe this? You know, which he's, that's kind of goes back to that idea of just, okay, do you believe this? Do you, that this is true, that what I've told you is true? So all these meanings get wrapped up together in this word. Are we trusting Jesus? And that's that, do you believe this, is probably a question we could ask ourselves or that life asks us every now and then. Do you really believe that? Have you ever had a friend say that to you? Do you really believe that? They hear that there's something that Christians believe or whatever, and then they ask you, do you believe that? And sometimes, you know, depending on what they've heard, you know, sometimes your answer is, oh yeah, I completely believe that. I'm counting on that being true. And sometimes your response is, no, I don't believe that. You know, do you believe that all these people are going to hell? Or do you believe that, you know, this one, depending on what they're asking you, your answer might be, no, I don't believe that. But other times, you know, they're asking, do you believe this? And you go, well, yeah, I believe that. And I wonder, it's one thing to say, sure, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. It's another thing for that to be reflected in your life and the decisions you make, all that, right? For example, like, all right, the Bible describes us as the body of Christ, right? That believers, people who put their faith in Jesus, that he gives us his Holy Spirit, and that we live in this world as the body of Christ, that we belong to each other, that we all have a role to play, just like different parts of the body. And so, yes, we're all going to be different, but we all belong to each other, and we don't expect everybody to be just the same. But we do expect that we will care for each other, just like you care for the different parts of your body. And if part of your body is suffering, the rest of your body stops to help, right? Experienced that just this morning. Letting the dog out early, it was cold. While the dog's going nuts, needs to run around. So we have a little thing out in the yard. We don't have a fenced-in yard, but we've got this lead that, you know, is staked into the ground and then has a long thing. And it's like, okay, you run around to the backyard. I'm gonna shovel for a little bit. You know, so I'm shoveling out there, and after just a few minutes, like my fingertips were hurting. You know, they were cold, and I had to go inside and warm them up, stick them in front of the little heater, and try to warm them up, because part of my body was in pain. And the rest of my body didn't just say, like, eh, who cares about you? You know, I'm going to stay out here and, you know. No, at some point I said, okay, I need to do something about this, or there's some damage going to be done. Right? I cared enough about my fingertips that I paused and I went and I warmed up. Do we believe that we are the body of Christ? Do we really believe that? Oh, sure, yeah, of course. Do we believe that when part of the body is suffering, needs help? Do we believe it enough to modify how we spend our time? Do we believe it enough to have awkward conversations with people about, you know, expressing care for them in a time of grief or difficulty or need? Do we believe it enough to share with folks when they need help? You know, I know definitely many of you do, and I've seen you express that in recent days. Many, many examples of ways that you show that you truly do believe that. We could go through any Christian belief. You know, do you really believe that this life isn't all there is? Do you really believe that there is a resurrection at the end of this, an eternal life, and that what we do in this life matters for eternity? Do we believe that? Or are we living as if, nope, it's just all there is. I've got to get my fun here or I'm not going to have it. Do we believe that God is with us? Do we believe that God loves us? Do we believe that God forgives our sins? Or do we continue to walk through life letting our past failures define us and continuing to go back to them time and time again? Or do we believe that God really does have the power to change our lives? We don't need to walk around carrying a bunch of shame and guilt. We don't need to continue in destructive habits and patterns. Do we believe that Jesus has defeated the devil? Do we believe that sin has been defeated, that the chains have been broken, that we are free? Do we believe this? It's a question we might want to ask ourselves, just like Jesus asked Lazarus' sister. Jesus, when he showed up on the scene, Mark's gospel, he skips the whole "in the beginning was the word," and he doesn't talk about angels or shepherds or wise men. He just goes right to, here's the beginning of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And by the time you get to he talks about John the Baptist a little bit, and in verse 14 he says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, the gospel. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news, or believe the gospel. He's calling people to believe that the kingdom of God has come near, that God is reestablishing himself as king of this world through Jesus and what he is going to accomplish. He's calling people to repent and believe the good news. This isn't just saying, believe it in your head, you know. And it isn't just saying, will you trust me? This is where that allegiance piece comes in. You know, is Jesus Lord? Is he king? Do we owe him our allegiance or not? We see where our true allegiance lies whenever it gets challenged, right? Whether you truly are American or not, you know, your American allegiance, I guess, gets challenged. Your allegiance to your sports team gets challenged when they go through a rough patch or rough season. Your allegiance to your family, you know, when family makes things tough, like, well, do I have some loyalty, some allegiance to these family members, or don't I? Our allegiance to Christ gets challenged all the time, because there are other kings, other powers, others that want us to bow down to them, want us to do things their way, want us to acknowledge that they are in charge. And Jesus says, look, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent, change your allegiance. Turn around, believe, put your trust in me. By the end of John's gospel, he's writing this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed king, the Son of God, you know, God in the flesh, the Word made flesh dwelling among us, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is what he wants for us. He wants us to believe that, yes, it's true. He wants us to trust the testimony that we're given by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He wants us to believe that that Jesus was much more than just a teacher, even more than a miracle worker. He wants us to believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. He wants us to believe these facts. But then Jesus calls us to trust him, to believe in him, to have confidence in him, to give him our allegiance. To say, okay, I belong to you, Jesus. I am yours. He says, when we do this, we have life. I'm hoping that this year, I was going to say if, but when your faith, your belief, your trust, your allegiance, when it is challenged, when you are presented with moments that make you say, do I really believe this? Boy, my hope is that you say, yes, I do. And you may have to say, I should have included this one. Like the man who came to Jesus asking for help for his child. And it was when Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and they were seeing Jesus as he really is. The transfiguration is what they called it. And he comes down, and the disciples were trying and failing at helping this dad with his kid. And and the man says, you know, if you can help, please do, says to Jesus. And he's like, if I can help? It's possible if you believe. And he says, well, I do believe, but help my unbelief. He acknowledges, I do, but part of me doesn't. And that was enough for Jesus. Even a partial expression of faith was enough for Jesus to help this man and his child. And my hope is maybe that's what you will find yourself saying. I do believe, but there's this part of me that's still not quite sure. I do believe, but help me with that part, God, that's still on the fence. Apparently for Jesus, that is enough. It's honest. It's, what did he say, a mustard seed? Faith as small as a mustard seed? Just a kernel of faith is enough for Jesus to work with. And if we will trust him with that, whatever it is, that little bit, whatever that moment is, we see that God is faithful and that God is good. And that helps us to put a little more trust in him the next time and a little more trust in him the next time. Until finally we find ourselves willing to say like the disciples did, well, hey, if we got to die with him, then I guess that's what we'd do. And whatever Jesus asks, we find ourselves saying a heartfelt, enthusiastic yes. Let's bow our heads and ask for God's help with this. God, thank you. Thank you for shining your light into our darkness. Thank you for coming to us in Jesus Christ when we couldn't get ourselves to you. The only way we were going to get out of the mess that we found ourselves in was by you coming to us. And so that's what you've done, God. And that's not just what you did a couple thousand years ago. That's what you've done for each of us. You have come to us by your Holy Spirit. You have reached out. You've invited us to follow, to come and see. You've invited us to believe. And here we are today, kind of being forced to answer, do I really believe this? And each and every day, there will be moments that challenge, do we really believe this? Am I putting my trust in Jesus? Do I have confidence that Jesus can do what he says he will do? Do I believe that he has forgiven my sins and set me free? Does he have my allegiance? Do I acknowledge him as king? Help us, Lord Jesus, in those moments of challenge, to be honest with you. We don't want to pretend. If our honest answer is, well, I do believe, and I am trusting you, but it's hard. I'm trusting you, but it's difficult. Help me to trust you more. If that's our honest answer, Jesus, help us to be honest and to come to you for that help so that you can help us to trust you, so that you can help us to follow you. We need your help because you know we live in a world where there are many claims on our lives, many powers, many authorities, from parents to bosses to teachers to, you know, presidents to all sorts of things, God, that lay claim to us. Jesus, we want to give you our allegiance. You are King. You are Lord. And whatever we walk through until then, you help us to faithfully follow you and to live out whatever our calling might be, whatever our job might be, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, you help us to live in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Help us, God. Help us to do that well, to live as believers, people who truly believe that you are with us, that you are guiding us through this life, and that you have a beautiful life for us to live. We express this faith in you, this confidence in you, through this sacrament of Holy Communion. We join together with Christians around the world in offering these gifts of bread and juice, believing, trusting that by your Spirit's presence here, we can meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, we remember that you took bread and broke it, gave it to your disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. You took the cup and you said, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. You said this seals the new agreement, the new covenant between God and humanity. That it was by your finished work on the cross, by your death and resurrection, that our sin problem was finally and completely dealt with. The devil defeated, no longer our master. The chains of sin broken, setting us free. The fear of death, something that doesn't have to dominate our minds and hearts anymore. We can live trusting you because you have conquered death. You are the resurrection and the life. If we believe in you, if we trust in you, if we give you our allegiance, you have promised that we will share in that life now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for the love that you've shown us, your willingness to give your all for us. Today, we express our confidence in you. Not in ourselves, because, oh man, as we come to your table, we acknowledge our need of your grace and mercy. We confess that we've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. There are so many times that we've believed maybe only partly, maybe not at all. So many times when our actions have shown that our faith was just something that we said, not something that we lived. Forgive us, God. And thank you that you do forgive us, God. Your word tells us we confess our sins. You are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to experience that today. The weight lifted, the shame, the guilt removed. Yes, we acknowledge our failures, and then you allow us to leave those behind and to walk into a new life with you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the new life you make possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. All of us who are hungry for his grace and grateful for his love. So let's celebrate. Thank you.
abundance of grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father.
God, let that be our response, that we run to you, that we fall into your arms, that we trust you, not just with our sins that you'd forgive them, but trust you with our lives, that you will lead us well, that you will transform us, change us into the people you created us to be. Please, God, fill us today with the Spirit of Christ so that we may live in this world as the body of Christ, as your sons and daughters, as your disciples, Jesus, as people with confidence in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.